Let's say the kind of the more I've watched the Steelers this week, the more impressed I am the way they've played. They're really, really well coached. They've had so many end of the game, end of the half situations that they're been very productive and efficient with. Coach Tomlin does a great job with the clock management, with the play selection, just doing the right plays in the right situations and executing them well. And they've played well on defense, on offense, and in the kicking game, made a lot of critical plays, and they do a really good job in that area, and that's translated into a number of wins for them. So, along with all the other things that they do well, that's pretty impressive too. So, you're going to need to play a good 60-minute complete football game, all three phases, and to be competitive with these guys. They're good at everything.
Bill, you had mentioned Wednesday when we talked that you had a couple roster moves, and this is the first time we've talked to you since those moves. What traits does Kenny Britt have, that make you want to work with him?
He's been a productive player in this league. We'll see how it goes.
See any similarities between what you did last year with Floyd and him in terms of just timing and I don't know about expectations.
Yeah, we'll see. It's only been a couple days, so we'll see how it goes.
Maybe a little bit unique for that position or different, give you a different.
Bigger than anybody we have, yeah.
With the size of the Steelers receivers, other than Brown, Bill, it seems like with Smith-Schuster especially, he's a pretty physical player. It seems like, does that help them create bigger plays down the field, some of the blocking that they get from those guys?
They're all good. They all have good skill sets. They all are productive. Yeah, Rodgers and Brown aren't the biggest guys, but they're productive. A lot of Bryant, Smith, Hayward Bay, kicking game. I mean, they're a very talented group. Tight ends, same thing. Big receivers, McDonald, James. Bell is another big guy. So they can do a lot of things. They can catch. They can break tackles. They're elusive. They can all go up and get the ball. So,
the chance the Steelers could have Joe Hayden back for this game. How does he change their secondary when he's out there?
Yeah, Joe's a very experienced player. Saw him in a lot of number of games earlier this year. Just missed the last few weeks. Sutton and Sensabaugh played. They're pretty good no matter which one of those guys is in there. But Hayden has a lot of experience. We played against him in the past. He's got a lot of savvy and good ball skills.
You talked about looking at the film even more since the other day. Specifically with Ben, is there anything, even in the last few days, that stuck out more into what he's doing particularly well at the moment?
He does everything pretty well.
Because he had a point in the season where he was saying, maybe I'm done. I would imagine the film shows otherwise.
He's made, and as a team, they've made so many plays at most critical times in the game when they've had to make them. And that's really what it's all about. And he's done that as much as anybody. All the receivers, Brown, Bell, James, McDonald. It's not like he's thrown to just one guy. He throws to all of them. They've all made big plays.
You've seen Cameron Flanagan, Adrian Waddle fill in for Marcus Cannon in the past. What's the competition like at that position?
Those guys have both played a lot of good football for us. So we'll see how it goes. We have confidence with both of them. We've won with both of them in there. Do what thinks best for the team, but they're both good players.
Your group of running backs have all been backups at some point during their NFL careers. I wondered if that was a coincidence or whether there was something about that might have appealed to you.
I haven't really thought about it. So I guess that answers the question.
Sorry, what was that?
So I guess that answers the question. I really thought about it.
Would that less work that they have, maybe less tread on the tires appeal at all, or maybe the mentality of, you know, a guy who's more comfortable as a, you know, as a role player as opposed to wanting to be, you know, the go-to guy all the time?
Yeah, the most important thing, I think, that position is production. So they've been productive, which is good. That's what you need at that production, at that position. You know, production, then what do you really have? That's what they're there for, gain yards.
In the running game, is there, I guess, kind of a ratio of importance between lock-in and what the running back can do on his own? Or do those things just really
I think every play gets blocked for a certain, call it, number of yards. And then what the back's going to add onto that on their own, in addition to what the play is blocked for. Let's call it what you and I could gain on a play. Blocked for so many yards, we gain that. Then what can the guy with the ball do after that? That's a big measuring stick for the back. Assuming that he reads the play properly to get the yards that it's blocked for, which isn't a given, but most of the time you get that. Back runs where he's supposed to run based on the blocking pattern and the way the play unfolds. That's not 100%, but assuming that you get that part right, then the next question is what can the player do on his own? Power, quickness, vision in the second cuts, balance, etc.
Bill Hayward's having a career year. Are there any differences that you've noticed between other times that you faced him that have allowed him to have the year he's having?
He's a good player, but he's having a great year. That whole front's playing very well. Hayward's done a great job. Tuitt, Hargrave, all three of those guys are strong. They're physical. They're hard to block. They do a good job of rushing the passer, collapsing the pocket. They're strong in the running game, keep the linebackers free. Defensive ends do a good job, or outside linebackers, whatever you want to call them, Dupree and Watt and Harrison. So it's across the front, that's a strong, tough group. But Hayward's having a great year, no question.
Eric Lee, what have you learned about him, you know, since you had him in here since, like, November 21st?
He's a hardworking kid, stays late, comes early. Football's important to him. He's tough, taking a lot of snaps and put a lot into it. It's great to have, great kid to work with.
He had talked about when he was coming out of South Florida that he didn't have too much going on after the draft. He said Houston was the one that got him into the If you recall, did he fall into that category of sort of guy that would be an undrafted, that if he got a chance, maybe you could develop? Or was he more of a guy that really took, because of that opportunity, showed up on the radar, you know, with the pro personnel folks?
Well, like a lot of players in college that play that position, the defensive end to outside linebacker to off-the-line linebackers, sometimes a little hard to figure out when you're a 3-4 team like Houston is. Those defensive end to outside linebacker conversions are, say, it's generally a little bit better fit, and you can, let's say, do it with more guys because that's your defense. When you're really a defensive end team, which we primarily are, it's hard to take a linebacker and put him at end. They're related, and, you know, and trying to figure out whether the guy really is a linebacker, whether he's an end, whether he's a hybrid type of player, whether he could play off the ball even though he hasn't done it before, that you're kind of projecting him to do that. So, you know, we have a number of players that fall into that category ourselves, and finding the right ones and figuring it out. And again, you only have so many spots you can do that with. When you're a 3-4 team, you go to camp with call it seven outside linebackers, and you know, you have two or three on your roster, and then you add three or four, whatever it is. So you have a little bit more opportunity with those players, and Eric certainly took advantage of that, and we were able to see him doing some of those things. And so,
Bill, yesterday Matthew Slater talked about how this year has been a little bit frustrating for him. While maybe he hasn't been able to be as productive on the field as he would like to, what have you noticed about him that has still impacted the team in other ways?
Matt's great, great captain, does an excellent job off the field, in the locker room, in preparation, whether he is or isn't playing. He's a huge asset to our team. So I think Matt is the type of player that does what he can do, and if there's something that he can't do, that doesn't affect what else he can do. So he continues to be active and positive in the areas that he is able to be involved in, and the ones that he isn't able to be involved in, then he works hard to try to get to a place where he can participate there, but it doesn't affect the other aspects of other areas that he can contribute to the team. And so he's a big contributor in a lot of different ways.
Well, Le'Veon Bell's three most productive games as a receiver have come in the past 3 weeks. Just wondering what you've seen from his involvement, how they've used him in the passing game in this the last couple of games.
In the same way they always use him. He comes out of the backfield, screen player, and they use him in empty, split out. So that's, I caught a 30-yard screen pass against Green Bay. I mean, it's a lot of yards. I mean, it's not like some big creative play that nobody's ever seen run before, but I mean, it's 30 yards on a screen pass. And a lot of it was good running. I mean, Cincinnati. Wasn't guys had a shot at him. He made guys miss, got into space, made a lot of yards on his own. So he's capable of doing that. He's capable of splitting out, catching the slant pass that he caught against Baltimore, running through a couple tacklers there on the goal line for a touchdown. Can take checkdowns and make big plays out of those. So, I mean, anytime he has the ball in his hands, he's dangerous. Sometimes they throw it down the field to him, and sometimes they give it to him on shorter passes and let him run with it. But there's a lot of space there with his deep receivers, so sometimes he gets the ball on checkdowns or screens, plays like that, where the offense doesn't have to block seven or eight guys like they do in a running play. They just give it to him in space and let him go. He's a tough guy to handle. He's great, great run skills, vision, balance. He's as good as any back we've seen all year. We've seen a few good backs.
Just to follow up on Megan's question about Slater, how important is it to have emotional leaders? Like, obviously, what guys do on the field sets an example one way. But if that player, if he has that kind of role as an emotional leader, if he was removed from the equation, is that something that the team would really feel, in your opinion?
Yeah, every team's different. Every team has a different makeup and a different chemistry, and and honestly, sometimes that changes over the course of the year based on the circumstances that a team goes through. So I don't think there's any right or wrong. It has to be this or it has to be that. You put any group of people together and you're going to have a different chemistry. And if you change a few people, then that'll change. And the circumstances that group goes through will force some changes. It's inevitable. So I think the most important thing is the execution and the consistency of the units and the overall team. Motion's great, and that can be a big part of it, but in the end, you know, we can all sit around and kumbaya all day. I don't know if you don't block anybody or you can't tackle or you can't kick. I don't really know what you have. So I'm not saying it's not important, it's part of it, but you better be able to execute what you're doing at a pretty high level, or I don't think the rest of it's going to carry you all that far.
Tom, I hadn't had had missed some practices in the past weeks, and then there had been games where the production in the passing game was solid and looked like 35 points against Miami, and then other games where it didn't look as solid. How do you know, like, how much that's a factor? Him not being in practice versus being in practice leads to a productive passing game in a game, you know, or is it a factor at all? How do you weigh that?
Well, it's always good to have everybody practice and to get their preparation and to get it with their teammates. So that's how you build team execution, is from team practice. So the more that we can do, the better. It's not always possible. We do the best we can. Every team in the league deals with the same thing. It's not a unique problem here or anywhere else. So just do the best we can with it. Okay. All right. Thanks.